Welcome to the Lighthouse Family Worship Center. We are so excited that you joined us today. The following has been made possible by the friends and partners of Light of Truth Ministries.
Today for loving the Lord. You know, he said where two or three are gathered together in his name. I will be making a correction. I don't have time to go over everything that really needs to be said. But there are some changes that are going on, and I've got to correct some things that I said last week, and I think I'll do that in the sermon. But we're going to be looking for volunteers. We haven't got this thing prayed through yet, but we know it's the mind of God, and we are praying about it and believing God. We're getting ready to open three different rooms for people after the service. And in those rooms, there's going to be people. We don't know for sure. We think it's probably going to be easier to get volunteers to go pray after worship. But we want two volunteers in each room that will pray at least from the time of worship until the end of the service to set the atmosphere in the room. And then we're going to have a room for new converts where we're just going to share a short video and share with them what just took place when they give their hearts to Jesus. We'll be giving them some literature explaining the new life that they have in Jesus. And then we're going to have a what we call a prayer room. It will be like a healing room. It'll be a place where people can go that are sick, and they can just sit and saturate in the presence of the Lord. And there'll be people there that will pray for them after the service. I know we pray during the service, but this has been on my heart this morning. We are in such a hurry as a people and a culture, and we really need to slow down for God. I'm telling you, the move of God requires time. I've never been in a move of God, and I am so fortunate. It's astonishing to me that God allowed me to be born at such a time as this, because within weeks of getting saved, I got saved in March of 1993, and within weeks, I'm in a revival at the Assembly of God Church at Winona, Oklahoma. That was one of the most powerful moves of God I've ever seen. Well over two dozen people were saved in just a few weeks' time, around 50 filled with the Holy Ghost. There were incredible miracles, healings, the miraculous. It was an amazing move. And then in Father's Day, on Father's Day of 95, God broke out in Brownsville, Florida. And we made I don't know how many trips down there. And I've been in services with some of the most powerful men and women of God that He has raised up in this generation. And I've never been where the Spirit of God was really touching people that was just a quick service. You've got to give time for God to move. You've got to be willing to wait on Him if you want to see the glory of the Lord. And I cut worship short this morning, but there was a purpose in it, and I'm not going to go into that right now. But we're also going to have a room for deliverance. I know that we live in an age where people don't think we cast out devils anymore. And I heard John Hagee say this one time. He said, if they don't cast out devils in your church, you need to find another church. It hasn't changed. I cannot believe that there are people that think there's no demonic influence in America. That's astonishing to me. I mean, you look at what Hollywood is putting out, and you're going to tell me there's nothing demonic going on? And we're entertained by some of that stuff. Witchcraft and sorcery, abominations of all kinds. I mean, we celebrate the abominable in this nation. And they will try to silence you if you stand up and speak out against it. I'm just telling you, a man lying with a man like a man lies with a woman is an abomination before the Lord. That's not the way God designed it. You know, the old preachers used to say, God made Adam and Eve. He did not make Adam and Steve. And if you know somebody that's bound in that because it's demonic, that's exactly what I'm going to talk about today. As the more I thought about it and prayed about it this week, because I cannot believe that I said there's no scripture in the New Testament that talks about binding devils. Because I have preached this passage I'll be reading in here in a little bit. I don't know how many times. And I'm like, God, how did I overlook that? And I think it was because he wanted me to talk about this. And there's two things that I hate talking about. I do not like to talk about money. I don't like to talk about money at all. And I don't like talking about devils. I like talking about Jesus. Because Jesus is the answer to both. You get close enough to Jesus, you won't be very concerned about money. There are more important things in life than money. Many more important things. And Jesus is the answer for every devil that has ever walked on planet Earth. If the devil is afflicting your home, Jesus is the answer. I'm going to talk to you this morning out of Matthew chapter 6. We'll start in verse 25. I believe the Lord has given me some insight about this. And that is the correction. There are verses in the New Testament that talks about binding devils. I can't believe last week I said, and all I said was I couldn't find them. And I'm like, how did you not find them? You are so familiar with those passages. Matthew chapter 6, verse 25, it says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about life. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Praise God. Somebody agrees. What you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? There goes Peter's argument right out the window. They say a rat is a dog is a boy. God says people are more important than birds. Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? In other words, which of you can add a single inch to your height by worrying? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now, if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. There's enough evil today, you don't have to worry about what's coming tomorrow. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Now we're going to focus on Matthew 6 and 33 this morning. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And you if you're like me, there's never been a great deal of insight about this scripture. I mean, we're like, seek ye first the kingdom. What does that mean? And we're going to take a bit of a different direction this morning than maybe what you're used to. But I believe this is I believe this is the will of God. I believe this is the mind of God. We're going to look at a couple of things in a little bit different way. And this is the thought. If what we're doing is not working all that well, and the Bible says it should, maybe, possibly, there could be some chance that we need to do some things differently. Possibly. Maybe. You know, one of the definitions of insanity is to keep doing the same thing you've always done and expect a different result. If you want a different result, maybe you need to do some things differently. And I know people don't have the time that I do. You can't imagine how much time God allows me to spend in prayer and spending time in the Word. And I so appreciate that. I do appreciate that. I don't know. Everybody just calls my wife, I guess. And I'm glad you do. Because it just gives me time to seek the Lord. And I have spent so much time this week on this passage. And I first heard it preached this week. And you know me, I get on Bill Johnson kicks where I just watch his sermons. When I first got saved, I was a Joyce Meyer person. I mean, March of 93, I discovered Joyce Meyer. And I would literally for 8 hours, If I had the time, and I was working shift work, my shift was 12 hours, I worked 14 out of 28 days. So every 14 days out of 28, not on in a row, but I had 14 days off every 28 days. It was a pretty good shift. I would have been completely content to spend the rest of my life doing that, except for the nights. Did not like nights. Because I had so much time off, I got to do a lot of things that I wanted to do. And I would literally, for 8 hours in a day, I would listen to the same sermon over and over and over and over and over and over. And if you can, if you work at a place where you can listen to preaching, and it is so available nowadays. I mean, we have Bluetooth. We have all kinds of ways that we can pull up a sermon and listen to it. And it doesn't have to be the sermons I preach. If I'm not your favorite preacher, there are people besides me that preach the Word of God. But if you will just begin to inundate yourself and saturate yourself, I promise you, you will never get the fullness of a sermon in listening to it one time. John Wesley said, you can't even preach the fullness of a sermon until you have preached it 50 times. And if you think, and I might listen to that same sermon for a week. I remember Kenneth Copeland talking to his wife, Gloria, one day. And she said that they were listening to cassette tapes. How many are old enough to remember cassette tapes? And if you didn't have a player that would automatically go to the other side, you had to pull it out, turn it over, stick it back in, and hit play. And they listened to one side of a Joyce Meyer tape, and Gloria said, pull it out, turn it over, and let's listen to the other side. He said, she has chewed me out for an hour, and now you want me to listen to another hour of it? Joyce was really straight back in those days. And I needed that kind of preaching. Brother James Rowden came to the Assembly of God Church, and I'm telling you, Sunday mornings there'd be at least 100 people in attendance, and then Sunday nights there'd be more than that. I mean, it was because Sunday night was kind of a revival meeting, and it is wild. Brother Downing moves in the gifts of the Holy Ghost. Brother Routon preached a really straight sermon on Sunday morning. That night there was 25 people in the service. Me and my wife were two of them, and I was like, preach. I'm just eating it up because I needed it. I was a new convert. I needed the sword of the Spirit to get rid of some stuff in my life. And here, 30 years later, I still do. I just need to ask you this morning, is there any room for improvement in your life as far as your walk with Jesus? Seek ye first the kingdom. What does that mean? And maybe we should begin by defining the kingdom. The Bible defines the kingdom. The Bible interprets the Bible. God does not need us to interpret the Bible. The Bible interprets the Bible. And if you read the Bible trying to find what God is, let me say it like this. If you are trying to read the Bible to find what the, I got to say this right. To say what it's speaking to you, you're reading it incorrectly. The only way to read Scripture is to find out what is God saying, period. There's all kinds of people that say, well, that says this to me. And then you get in a group of people and it says 14 different things to 14 different people. I just don't know about that. Romans 14 defines the kingdom. Kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. Isn't that what Jesus just said? Why are you worried about what you're going to eat? Why are you worried about what you're going to drink? Why are you worried about what you're going to put on? Isn't that what Jesus said? Paul said the kingdom is not eating and drinking. You wouldn't know that if you listened to what a lot of is being preached nowadays. Let me move on. Here's what the kingdom is. Righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, don't worry about your life. What you eat, what you drink, or the clothes you wear. Paul said in Romans 14, the kingdom is not eating and drinking. And what the kingdom is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. So our job from Jesus, our assignment from Jesus is, if you will, to first seek God's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And Jesus made it clear. We're not just to seek any righteousness. We are to seek God's righteousness. I mean, that is so important. Because Jesus said this. He said, not one jot or one tittle will fade away from the law until it's all fulfilled. He said, every T will be crossed, every I will be dotted, and I promise you, when we find things in the Word, now it can be incorrect in translation, but when we find the Word in its original manuscript, if we find what the Greek is and we find what the Hebrew is, Josh McDowell in his research and with many other scholars, they've uncovered 50,000 partial texts of the New Testament. They have almost the entire New Testament written within 100 years of Jesus' ascension. What does that mean? It was likely written by the Apostle Paul, some of it. It was likely written by John and Peter and Luke. So we know what they really said. And so when the Lord says, don't just seek any righteousness, we're to seek God's righteousness. And why would He say that? Because if all Jesus said was to seek righteousness, There's a lot of people that think because they're good people, they're righteous. I've watched, how many have ever watched Ray Comfort and Kirk Cameron preach the gospel on the streets with videos? On a regular basis, they will ask people, are you a good person? Well, yes, I'm a good person. I'm not mean to people. I love my wife. I take care of my family. I take care of my children. I'm a good person. And Ray will ask him, or Kurt will ask him, have you ever told a lie? Well, yeah, everybody's told a lie. If it's a man, they'll say, have you ever looked at a woman and lusted? And they'll go, well, yeah, every man. Well, nowadays, most men. Well, some men have lusted after women. Nowadays, some men are lusting after men. Or even sicker, little boys. Yeah. You think it's not out there? It is. Well, yeah, everybody's lusted after a woman. Have you ever blasphemed the name of the Lord? What do you mean? Have you ever taken the Lord's name in vain? Do you understand? Just to declare out of anger or frustration, oh my. You just blasphemed the name of the Lord. The ancient scholars, the rabbis, when they would write, they wouldn't even speak the name of God. When they would write it, they would go and they would wash. And then they would come and they would write his name. And then they would go and wash. Because they held his name in such reverence. Do you really believe our culture holds the name of God in reverence? And they'll admit, well, yeah, I've done that. I've cursed using God's name. And Ray will tell them, well, by your own admission, you're a lying adulterer and a blasphemer. And I've watched the light come on for so many of them. Not always. Sometimes they rebel. They're hard-hearted toward God. And the Bible says if we are proud toward God, he resists us. My dear brothers and sisters, if God resists you, you are in a tragic place. But I have watched him. I've watched him. I've watched biology students at Cal Berkeley, which is a campus that is filled with hatred toward God. But I have watched biology students melt under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit. And I've seen their hearts and their countenance change right before my eyes when they come to the realization that they are not good, but they need a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And so Jesus is instructing, don't seek after any righteousness. Seek after God's righteousness. And God's righteousness can only be apprehended one way, and that's through Jesus. He who knew no sin was made sin, that you and I become the righteousness of God in Christ. Kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. We are to seek God's righteousness. Anything that contradicts God's kingdom must be confronted. In thought, in deed, in action. I have heard it said, whatever is tolerated will dominate. Another thought is, if you give the devil an inch, he will become a ruler. And if that's not satisfactory to you, Paul said this, give no place to the devil. I'm going to say something right now that some of you may struggle with this. if sickness has come to your home, unrighteousness has come to your home. And I'm not saying it's your unrighteousness. That's not what I'm saying at all. I'm not saying that you did something wrong. That's why you're sick. I'm not saying that at all. What I'm saying is that you are being attacked by unrighteousness. Because sickness is not righteous. How do I know that? Because in God's righteousness, there is no sin. Your kingdom come. How much sickness do we suppose there is in heaven? I get it. We live on a fallen planet and it is a battle. I'm a firm believer that when you get born again, you have entered into the biggest war this part of the universe has ever seen. And there's no way out of it. You can't ignore it. You can't act like it's not really happening. When you get really born again, you are thrust right in the middle of it and you're going to either decide to rise up and be a warrior, or it is going to run you over. We cannot read Isaiah chapter 53 literally and believe that sickness is righteous. We cannot read 1 Peter chapter 2 literally and believe sickness is righteous. I'm going to read it for you. This is so profound. Who himself, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, who himself bore our sins in his own body, on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. I already told you once, God doesn't put these things together by happenstance. Out of the same breath, the Holy Spirit says that we have, having died to sins, live for righteousness, by whose stripes you were healed. Don't feel bad if you're sick. And I know that seems like an oxymoron. It's just time to, and I'm not even, what you really need to understand is you need to fight the hell that has come to your home. Whatever is tolerated will dominate. If we give the devil an inch, he will become a ruler. Give no place to the devil. And I know some of you have been in a battle that has raged for years. I get that. Me too. I hurt my back in January of 2000 for 24 years. I've been battling. So what do? Just throw in the towel and say, well, I guess this is just the way it's going to be, so I'm just going to deal with this. That's where a lot of people are at. Because for them, being comfortable with the malady is easier than fighting the battle. God dots every I. He crosses every T. It says, he who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sin, some translations say might. The King James says should. But there's only one Greek word there. It's what I was telling you earlier. In translation, you can have errors. I don't know why the writers did this. I've never figured this out. But so many times they put may or might or should. It's like they're creating a place for people to have doubt and unbelief. It's like they're creating an excuse. Well, maybe it'll happen. Maybe it won't. And if it doesn't, then you're good. How many times did Jesus say, it's okay. You didn't have any faith there. Your doubt and unbelief, you know, it's not that big a deal. Did Jesus ever do that? Man, he was rough, was he not? You faithless and perverse generation. That's the kind of things Jesus said. Dear Lord, have mercy on us. Man, he was piercing with his words. That's what I tell people all the time. If you think that I preach strong, spend 30 days and read nothing but the Gospels. Read them every day for 30 days. And then when you come in here, you'll go, you're a lightweight preacher. Why don't you man up and preach like Jesus? The literal translation, He himself bore our sin in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, live for righteousness, by whose stripes we are healed. When unrighteousness is present, my place, your place, is to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The kingdom of God is righteous. And I believe Jesus emphasized God's righteousness so there'd be no confusion. If Jesus had only said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and righteousness, we would have tried hard to do good and make ourselves righteous. So Jesus removed all doubt as to whose righteousness we are to be in pursuit of. And Peter makes it clear that the wounds of Jesus are not only atoning for sin, not only do they make us the righteousness of God, but that's the price that was paid for healing as well. And I'm telling you, the church needs to get indignant with unrighteousness. What I mean by that is, we need to be intolerant of sickness. We need to love people. We should never, and if you feel guilty or bad about this, you are not hearing what I'm saying. You are listening to a lie of the enemy, because I'm not saying that at all. All I'm saying is you're under attack and you need to buck up and fight this thing. And if you need some help fighting it, call my wife. I'm just kidding. You can call me. I know how to pray. Maybe not as good as my wife, but I can pray. Let's just answer some questions this morning. Is murder righteous? Is stealing righteous? Is destroying righteous? We agree none of that's righteous, correct? Anybody think those things are righteous? Anybody? Because we have a deliverance team in the back right now. We'll get that devil out of you this morning. Let me ask you this. Is it safe to say that the devil is unrighteous? The devil is unrighteous. Amen? So what does he do? What did Jesus say? Three things that he did in John 10:10. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. So those are unrighteous acts. And we are to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And when we are indignant with unrighteousness, and we are intolerant of unrighteousness, and we refuse to allow unrighteousness to dwell among us, I mean, we fight that thing with the fierceness of a warrior. We come at it with everything that's within us. Then I believe we will begin to see wheelchairs and walkers and crutches and canes and eyeglasses and hearing aids and every other thing that is afflictive. People are trying to use to help with the affliction, because you ain't going to need it anymore. Why do I say that? Because the greater one lives within us. We have weapons at our disposal. Whatever the devil does is unrighteous. He is the one that brings sickness. He is the one that steals, kills, and destroys. Our place is to seek God's kingdom, wherein dwells righteousness. Let me ask you this. Is constant, long-lasting grief, is that peace? Is confusion peace? What about anxiety? Depression? Are we so comfortable in our malady that it is better than the battle? Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. I do not make myself righteous. Jesus makes me righteous. I believe God did the same thing with joy when defining the kingdom of God. For the same reason, He removed all doubt. He didn't just say righteousness, peace, and joy. See, I don't think there's anything the world has to offer that even compares to peace. You know whether you're walking in peace or not. And you might try to find peace in a lot of things. But you won't find it except in one. But joy. There's a lot of things that can stir some happiness, at least for a little while. And people will try to find joy in all of those places. And I believe that's why God made it so clear. He said the joy that you are to seek can only be found in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Joy in the Holy Spirit. I'm just letting this sink in. Because I'm telling you, whether you know it or not, this is good stuff. We want to know how to fight effectively. Jesus gives us the answer. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Replace the unrighteousness with righteousness. It replaced the chaos with joy. With peace. Replace the false joy with real joy. I'm skipping a bunch of stuff because it's later. In Matthew 12, and just to set this up, let's suppose you're a believer and the joy within you is under attack. Maybe it's your peace. Or maybe an unrighteous thing has affected you in a troubling way. How do we deal with these devils that fight us. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 12, this is one of the verses that I missed last week. In verse 25 it says, but Jesus knew their thoughts and said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, because that's what they'd accused him of, they said, you're casting out devils by Beelzebub. He is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? And if I cast out demons by Beelzebub, by whom do your sons cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, surely the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his good unless he first binds the strong man? Jesus is absolutely talking about binding a devil. And then he will plunder his house. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. And as I said last week, I remember a time where there was an entire movement about binding and loosing. And people would say things like, I bind you, devil. And I'm not saying you can't do that, but there needs to be more than that. Because what I'm saying is, this afternoon, if you have not looked at your clock, in order to bind something, you have to have something. The same word bind here is used to reference binding sheaves of grain. They would have a rope to bind a shock of stalks of grain. They'd tie it. It's also the same word that they said that they used chains to bind the man of the Gadarenes, but even those chains couldn't hold him, but they would tie him with chains and he'd break them. It's also the same word that the grave clothes around Lazarus, when Jesus said, loose him and let him go. Lazarus was bound by grave clothes, same word. It's also the word that they use for the cloth that they wrap Jesus in. So when the Bible's talking about binding something, it's talking about taking something and binding it. Wrapping it up. So if we're going to wrap up devils, what are we going to use? When Jesus had spent 40 days and 40 nights fasting, and the devil came to him, what did Jesus bind him with? The Word. How many times in Scripture do we see people cast out a devil in the name of Jesus? And so we know that those are two things that absolutely bind the devil. So when we deal with devils, we've got to be ready to use the name of God, the name of Jesus. We've got to be ready to use the Word of God. There's also other things. I'm not going to go into everything. I'm just going to mention these things quickly as I close. There's the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus conquers demons. We have the Word of God, we have the name of God, we have the blood of God, and one of the things that fits within that is the prophetic. Paul told Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 2, I believe it's verse 18, he said, this charge I commit to you, my beloved son Timothy, that according to the sure words of prophecy that have gone on before you, that by them you wage the good warfare. A good warfare is one you win. So if we are in warfare, unrighteousness has attacked our house. Something has stolen our peace. Something has stolen our joy. Then we can use any of those things. And there's other things. That's not an exhaustive list. But that there are things, weapons of warfare. Paul said we wrestle with the Holy Ghost or with the demons by the Spirit. We arm ourselves with the armor of God. I'm not going into all of it because we'd be here till 1 o'clock. And I'm good for that. How many's good with 1 o'clock? I'm surprised. I didn't expect anyone to raise their hand. But I'm not going to punish the rest of you because some of them want to stay till 1. They can go back in the prayer rooms that aren't set up and they can pray till next Sunday and we'll have those rooms ready. Or the Sunday after that. But if you're going to fight the devil, you've got to fight him with the proper weapons. I almost said tools, and I guess you could call them tools, but weapons is a better description because it is a battle. And it's not going to look like you're always winning. And almost always when God gives you a prophetic word, the exact opposite is going to happen. Abraham, you're going to have a son. Well, for 25 years, it didn't look like he was. Joseph, your family's going to bow before you. It really looked like that was going to happen when his brothers threw him in the pit and then sold him into slavery. Did it not? When Jesus went to the cross, it did not look like that was the conquering event to destroy the works of the devil. But it worked. So it's not a matter of what we see, but it is so important that we fight like this. Do you all want to see the miraculous? I do. I want to see the miraculous. I want to see Linda run around this sanctuary. I want to see Mike run around this sanctuary with both hands raised. I want to see these things. So if we're going to see these things, then we're going to have to do something different than what we're doing right now. We're going to have to take it up a notch. We're going to have to fight just a little bit harder, a little bit smarter, a little bit deeper. Instead of just saying, I bind you, devil, let's tell him what we're binding him with. And let's cover it in the blood. Let's cover it in the name. Let's cover it in the word. And let's just don't do it a single time or two, but let us get serious with this thing and let us be continually battling the powers and the principalities and the demonic forces that are stealing people's righteousness, that are stealing their peace and stealing their joy. Because our place is to seek the kingdom. And I'm just going to say this and I'm going to shut up. You're going to have a hard time fighting living a compromised life. God dealing with you about some stuff and you just ignore it. Habits, things that he's told you to quit. I mean, getting serious about the house of God, getting serious about prayer meetings, getting serious about studying the Word. Well, Brother Barry, I just let you do my studying for me. God ain't got no grandkids. You're either his son or your daughter or you're not at all. I mean, that's how simple it is. Pray, church. I think he's in trouble. Yep. I've been right where he's at. Been there, done that. I used to think Sunday, you go to church, you get a spanking, and then you ate some good food. That was what Sunday was. Dad would look at you once. You sat on the same row with Dad, and he would look once. And if you were smart enough to know that he'd already looked at you, then you could behave from then on. You wouldn't get a spanking. I got a spanking every Sunday. Say, well, that makes people not like church. Yeah, it worked on me, didn't it? Yep. I don't like church. I love it. I'm going to shut up. I have 5 more pages of notes. So just rejoice. Brother Routon says, in order for a sermon to be eternal, it does not have to be everlasting. Let's stand to our feet. Some of you have promises. You know, I have never been to a church, whether it was, and this is the only church I've ever pastored, but I've traveled some, not a lot, but I've never been to a church, where they did not have prophecies. I mean, every Pentecost, and I should say Pentecostal church, because I grew up in a Methodist church, and there weren't a lot of prophetic words there. There were some tongues, some interpretations. But every Pentecostal church I've ever been a part of, ever went and preached at, God made promises. And I've never understood this, but I believe it's clearer now than it's ever been. So many times those words never happen. And I believe it's because we are not willing to fight to see them happen. We are comfortable just sitting back and waiting, expecting God to just do it. And I believe God is sitting back, waiting on us to take the talents that He places in our hands and to steward them. And then when He returns, we have something to give Him. I think too often we're like the church that just takes the talent and go digs a hole and buries it and say, I'm just afraid of losing what you gave me. Instead of taking what he gives us and fighting hell tooth and toenail to see the glory of God in the earth. I want to see the righteousness of God. I want to see the peace of God. Man, I can't tell you. I want to see people with bipolar disorder, schizophrenics, set free. In Jesus' name. I want to see what God can do. Amy Simple McPherson was preaching, and the Lord gave her a word, and she stopped, and she said, the Lord says there's somebody here that needs a creative miracle. And for 10 minutes, she tried to get whoever that was to come, but no one moved. And so she began to preach again after 10 minutes. And about 30 minutes later, the Lord gave her the same word. And she said, I'm just telling you, there's someone in here that needs a creative miracle. The Lord says, come, and he will do it. And about 10 minutes again, and nobody moves. And finally, this woman comes. And she has a blanket, and she uncovers under this blanket a baby with no arms, no legs, and a deformed face. And she said, I don't know if this is what you were talking about. And Amy just laid hands on this baby and prayed a simple little prayer. See, we want to pray these long prayers, and it's because we think that we have something to do with moving God. God is not the problem. We're not wrestling God. It's not God that steals, kills, and destroys. She prayed a simple little prayer, come back to the podium, and said, let's worship. And so for 30 minutes, the congregation worshiped. No more praying, no more talking about it. They just lifted their hands and they began to magnify the Lord. And after about a half an hour, the baby grew arms and legs and the face was made normal. If we can just get the atmosphere right. God is more than willing to move. I speak to compromise in the name of Jesus. And I declare you'll have no place here. If you're compromised, I want you, you don't have to say it out loud. I'm not trying to embarrass you. But here's what you need to do. You need to say, compromise, I renounce you in the name of Jesus. You have no place in me. Get out of my life in the name of Jesus. Anxiety, fear, depression. You need to renounce the hidden things of darkness. You need to demand that they have no place in your life. In the mighty, mighty, mighty name of Jesus. Jesus heals. Jesus restores. He said, I have come to give you life. And life more abundant. Paul said, we will never know how good God's will is until we finally surrender and lay our lives down and say, here I am, God, a living sacrifice, not conformed to this world, but I've been transformed, God, by the renewing of my mind. I am no longer content to allow unrighteousness or chaos or confusion or anxiety or any other demonic stronghold to rule in my life. I'm sick of it. I'm tired of it going through my family and my children and my grandchildren. At what point will we put our foot down and say, enough is enough? Oh. If I could just get some music to play. If you need to go, I'm not, you know, I know stuff's happening today. But if you're here today, we're not playing anymore. We're taking the gloves off. We're just not taking it anymore. Just come. Just come. Just find you a place and say, no more. No more. You have lost children. You have something to fight for. Unrighteousness dwelling in the lives of your children, you have something to fight for. You are wonderful. The devil got some people in your children's lives. You got something to fight for. Jesus. I know it's late. I know that. I know that. I know.
Oh, that when they look in my eyes, they would see you. Even in just a smile, they would feel for love. Even in just a smile, they would feel Father's love.
Thank you for joining us today. We would so appreciate you praying about becoming a partner with us to help us spread the truth of God's word across the world. You can visit us on our website, lfwc.us, for more information. Thank you again, and may God bless you richly.